Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It is Wednesday, July 2nd. And yesterday, you may have noticed that our wonderful Fred Jackson was filling in for me because I was invited to the grand opening of Alligator Alcatraz, which is a detention facility in Florida for illegal immigrants awaiting deportation. And I have to tell you, this was a wild experience, and it wasn't just because it felt like, you know, we were going on a safari out to a land that is actually filled with, and this is the Everglades in Florida, that is filled with giant alligators, pythons, apparently also panthers and bears and a whole host of bugs, which, by the way, nobody informed me, even though I am a Floridian. I mean, I like to stay in an air conditioning. Like, let's be honest. I'm not the person that goes out and hikes or anything. It didn't even when I was in Colorado, but nobody warned me till we get there. And then everybody said, you brought bug spray, right? Like, you need bug spray. And I was like, that would probably have been a good idea. But thankfully, indoors most of the time. But this detention facility is just incredible because this is land that was already being used. There was an airstrip that I didn't know until talking to a deputy from Florida who was very kind and, you know, really, really helped, you know, get me and my friend Megan, who's one of my best friends, by the way. She works for Judicial Watch, and she's been along with me on many wild adventures. We have so many stories of Trump world and Florida world. And anyway, so she and I, we were escorted into this facility, and this deputy was really kind. And he was saying that he'd been there in this area and in Collier County for, 30 plus years, and was talking about what was actually going on there and how quickly this facility was put together. This was an 8-day operation that there's now fencing and a lot of this barbed wire. There are these massive housing facilities with beds, and everything looks really new. I mean, if you didn't know this was a detention facility, this could look like, you know, maybe one of those really rundown Comfort Inns. And I'm not kidding. I mean, this wasn't something where you're going to see, you know, oh, they're putting people in cages kind of things. I mean, it is a detention facility, so they can't just get out. There's not, the pool outside that you can go sunbathe. But it is something that actually looks very decent. And the construction of this in 8 days is just incredible. But this deputy was telling us about how the airstrips that were there, which both President Trump in Air Force One and Governor DeSantis in his plane, they both landed on these airstrips. And those were there originally after 9/11 so that if there were ever any hijacked planes, there would be a way to kind of force that plane into that area and try to shoot it down over the Everglades and specifically, you know, be able to get some of the first responders and all of this out with these airstrips. So this land where, you know, a lot of the protesters, and there were protesters that showed up as well, they looked really hot. They were outside. I don't think they took enough bug spray, frankly. And a lot of them were wearing masks, so you know that they were liberal leftists, which was hilarious. And they had everything in their signs from, like, you know, protesting the environment to saying, you know, Trump has to go, to, you know, things that were totally, completely unrelated. I don't think they were very effective. And there was, you know, maybe 150 or so. But they were walking around outside. And so with all of this, it was incredibly fascinating to see how all of this came together and how this is basically a facility in Florida that is going to be a focus on how, just optically and also operationally, how President Trump's border protection plan can be effectively implemented and how the states can do that and partner with the federal government. Because as Governor DeSantis always does, he leads the way and he shows the rest of the country how a state can function conservatively according to conservative principles and values and actually effectively have these kinds of this kind of border security and deportation effort. And so a red state said this: Donald Trump visited the new Alligator Alcatraz illegal immigrant holding center in the swamps of Florida Tuesday and toured the facilities with Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and Sunshine State Governor Ron DeSantis. Although the president and governor had clashed during the 2024 presidential campaign, with Trump calling his opponent, you know, names and other things. He said this, and actually this was a part, and I had an opportunity to speak with the governor after, and I mentioned to him that this was actually personally to me, just, you know, having worked for Trump, supporting DeSantis in the primary, seeing, you know, both these, I respect so much the policy views of both of these. The president was saying, you know, you'll always be my friend, and really was just genuine about that and actually very highly complimented the governor on the success of this facility, the success overall of Florida. Attorney General James Uthmeyer, who I know pretty well, who is a really excellent AG and is doing so many great things for the free state of Florida, was there. And President Trump had a lot of great things to say. And so this was like America united at a place in the Everglades that is literally surrounded by, you know, alligators and pythons. And I'm thinking, this is just so MAGA America in kind of a nutshell. I mean, it was a completely impressive experience. I think it was great that the president came. This was originally just supposed to be an opening that the governor's event, and having the president there, I think, just took it even to the next level of saying that this is a focus for America. And as we've talked about so much on this show, and as listeners know from my view of the Constitution, but also the biblical worldview, and so God's view of nations and borders and protections, this is, you know, right in line with all of that. And the objections to this type of detention facility, on one hand, you know, is saying, well, we need to protect the Everglades and, you know, isn't this terrible? This is so inhumane. And I responded to one objector on X saying, what's inhumane about it? I mean, this is a detention facility for people who are here illegally. And when there is an adjudication that, yes, you know, an identification, you have the right person, they're subject to deportation, that's as much due process as they receive under our system and should receive under our system. And it's not like this is a giant, you know, coliseum where it's a fenced area with a bunch of alligators that we're just, you know, throwing people in and see if, it, you know, this isn't survival on, you know, some network. I mean, this is something that the natural terrain makes it very difficult if anyone tries to escape. And we want that in a detention facility. The whole point of walls, and Trump and DeSantis have proven they can build a wall very quickly. The point of walls, the point of bars and doors and all of those things is to either keep people securely in or keep people out, right? I mean, I lock my doors when I go to bed at night. That's a good thing. And so to have this with kind of a natural barrier, it was incredibly wild, because you go down from basically from Miami, it's like due west into the Everglades a little over an hour. And this is a regular commute that a lot of people make on this one road that keeps going. And so there's a lot of just traffic that actually went past the turnoff, and there's not, you know, the giant welcome sign or anything to, you know, DeSantis Vacation Club or anything. But when you turn off into this road, that's the first checkpoint. And then once we got past that, then you still go about another 2 miles into this whole facility. And so for anyone who would be held here that is possibly trying to escape, it's a lot safer to stay inside than it is to kind of test your luck. And where would you go? I mean, it was a 2-mile drive, and this is going, you know, for most of the time, 45, 50 miles an hour. And if you're doing that on foot and there is so much swamp and just land around it, you are not going to get very far. And it's also in a place that has barely any cell signal. So that was also, you know, of course, an issue throughout the day. So this is a good thing. And so for all of the detractors, they're raising points that really are not germane at all to the whole point of what it means to have a detention facility, and to say this is for the purpose of taking people who have entered this country illegally, harboring them there, and then detaining them there. And then once there's been an adjudication that, you know, yeah, you are in this country illegally, then you can quickly deport them. And one of the most brilliant strategies about this to just facilitate the process, because adjudication and justice should actually be swift in this country. One of the things that is really frustrating about this whole thing, and about, I think, the justice system in America, is that it takes so long to enforce. And obviously, we want to make sure that the adjudication isn't done so quickly that there are a ton of errors. But one of the great things about this is that DeSantis has offered, and President Trump said yesterday in response to a question, that he's fully supportive of giving the National Guard and the detention facility to also have the authority and be deputized as immigration judges. So these people aren't housed here and then caught up in the system for 2 or 3 years, which is not only a burden on the taxpayer, but is in part, I think, genuinely unfair to them. Like, they're held there. Get the adjudication quickly, and if they're deported, go deport them. Don't just have them sitting there waiting for an adjudication. But this is what Governor DeSantis said on this note. He was standing there, you know, under Air Force One with President Trump during this press conference at Alligator Alcatraz yesterday. This is cut one.
This is, we're offering up our National Guard and other folks in Florida to be deputized to be immigration judges. We're working with the Department of Justice for the approvals. I'm sure Pam will approve. But then you have, I'll have a National Guard judge advocate here. Someone has a notice to appear. Biden would tell them to come back in 3 years and appear. Now you'll be able to appear in like a day or two. So they're not going to be detained, hopefully, for all that long. We'll have people here in this facility that can make, you know, it's a bureaucracy. A president's got to deal with the bureaucracy. Now, that Supreme Court ruling was good because that's going to allow him to be able to exercise Article 2 the way founders intended. But you still have bureaucracy. So we want to cut through that so that we have an efficient operation between Florida and DHS to get the removal of these illegals done.
So this is really incredible. And like I said, this is a perfect example of federalism, of federal government and state government partnership to effectuate a policy that is good, not just for the people of the state of Florida, but for America overall. And you just love to see it. And it was an incredible opportunity to go and tour this facility and to actually see this coming together in such a short time, instead of like what Washington normally does. And we're going to talk about the big, beautiful bill later on in the show, where, you know, Congress often, it takes so long to get anything done, and even on the state level, this is something that is so efficient, so prepared, so rapid, that is going to be so good for America, and I hope that we can continue this policy. The left, you know, MSNBC yesterday was saying, you know, they think that this is just an optics thing so that the Republicans will paint the Democrats as the party of open border policy. And I'm thinking, well, you guys kind of did that yourselves, because that is actually what you stand for. And this, frankly, has nothing to do with Republicans versus Democrats. This is all about America first. This is all about enforcing our laws. And this is all about ensuring that we actually are a nation of laws. We're a nation of borders. And the greatest thing as well about this and about the tour is that this is also a detention facility that has merch. And I'm not even kidding. There are, if you want to and you want to support this and you want to go online, you can go to WinRed, which is part of the RNC, and this actually would be donating to James Uthmeyer's reelection campaign for AG. So just full disclosure on that. But there are actually hats and mugs and t-shirts of Alligator Alcatraz. My dad was texting me, like, please get me a hat. So, of course, I did. But this is amazing. And there were a couple of other influencers online that, you know, where we got these hats. And I have a picture of it. I'll post later today in this hat that is Alligator Alcatraz. And so we're going, could this be any more Florida? I mean, we even have merch at this detention facility. So what a great time. Thanks so much to Governor DeSantis and his team for making this happen. For me, to the president and his team as well. The White House team is always so great. But it was just such a great visual to say we are getting all of this done. It's so effective. And we're going to talk more with DHS coming up right after this.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are still talking about the grand opening yesterday of Alligator Alcatraz, this incredible detention facility that DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and also President Trump, Governor DeSantis were at this opening yesterday. I was able to be there. Incredible experience. Just to see that the federal government and the state government working together to open this facility that is, I think, just the start of an even more effective and streamlined enforcement of President Trump's agenda. And this was really part of a central part of Trump's mandate when he was overwhelmingly reelected in 2024, where the American people want this. And to and they wanted this in 2016 as well, when back then it was build the wall. That was a huge part of his platform. And to see then with the Biden administration bringing in hundreds of thousands of illegals and all of the ridiculous policies that he had on the border, this type of rapid turnaround in just the first few months, in the first really 5 months of Trump's administration and partnering with the governor here in Florida has just been really incredible. So let's welcome in Micah Bach. He is the Department of Homeland Security Strategic Communications Officer. And Micah, this is really incredible. And Kristi Noem, Secretary Noem, was there on the ground yesterday. What does this mean in terms of DHS's involvement and how important this is to the Trump mandate?
Well, thank you, Jenna, so much for having me. And I think that what this represents is a fundamental shift with how the department was working in the past administration to what the department is doing now under the leadership of Secretary Noem and the leadership of President Trump. If you recall, during the past administration, the program that is now funding Alligator Alcatraz, the FEMA Shelter and Services Program, was being utilized by the Biden administration to house illegal immigrants in hotels across the country, including in New York City at the Roosevelt Hotel. Now those same funds that were giving key cards to illegal aliens are going to be used to keep illegal criminal aliens under lock and key down in the great state of Florida.
Yeah, this is incredible. And with this type of focus and emphasis on border security and this, I think, effective streamlining of actually getting deportations accomplished, there was a lot of funding that was necessary from the federal government. And that came through, if my understanding is correct, from largely from DHS.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. So FEMA had a program called the Shelter and Services Program that had been utilized by the past administration to provide hotel rooms for criminal legal aliens, most notably including Lakin Riley's killer, who utilized federal government funds, our taxpayer money, to stay at a hotel in New York City. But those funds are now being taken from that purpose, that terrible purpose of providing for criminals, and being utilized to provide safety for American citizens. It'll fund the development and the operations of Alligator Alcatraz, which are just over $400 million a year, I believe.
Wow. And this is something that, you know, FEMA has gotten a lot of, I think, negative attention in the past for a lot of government bloat and waste and saying, okay, once we give, you know, some situation and FEMA comes in, it's not necessarily the best and most streamlined and efficient way to utilize some of these resources. And so this sounds like a really great use of this. And so what's the broader perspective in terms of where DHS is with Alligator Alcatraz in Florida, and maybe looking forward as well to some other projects to assist this?
Right. So our partnership at the state level through the 287G program at Alligator Alcatraz with the Florida government is not something that just exists within the state of Florida. We have 287G arrangements with many other states across the country, and we're working very closely with our state and local partners to make sure that we are able to provide information to them, and they're able to provide resources to us as we go out and execute the president's mandate to round up criminal legal aliens on our streets. And I think it's really important to note that the utilization of these funds to build and create Alligator Alcatraz is something that the American people are going to be very excited to see, because we had a FEMA organization that was doing a disservice to the American people and allowing criminal legal aliens in and providing them transport. And those funds are now being repurposed for the exact opposite. So we're fulfilling the mandate that President Trump was given in his election. And under the leadership of Secretary Noem, we're going to see massive improvements in the safety and security that each American experiences due to these efforts.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so so how does DHS coordinate interagency efforts between, you know, FEMA and some of the local law enforcement? Because when I was on the ground yesterday, it was actually really incredible to see. And obviously Secret Service was there because the president and Secretary Noem were there. But the coordination between the local deputy that I mentioned in the opening that really assisted me and my friend Megan, and then also there were some other Florida agencies that were there, but then also the federal government. So how is that interagency collaboration?
Yeah, well, I think it speaks to the leadership, the effective leadership of Secretary Noem, that you have this high level of efficiency and effective collaboration with our state and local partners. Now, FEMA has an infrastructure across the United States for disaster response that makes a lot of sense to utilize for these types of state and federal interactive programs. And we are very excited to see what that looks like as we continue to build out Alligator Alcatraz and continue to enforce the government, the president's mandate, excuse me, across the country. FEMA, the secretary has been very clear. FEMA, as it exists today, will no longer exist. We are revamping FEMA into a very efficient, effective, and driven organization to fulfill the president's mandate of providing for the American people when natural disasters occur in ways that the previous administration failed to do, if you remember what happened in North Carolina. So this efficient communication style, these effective efforts by FEMA officers and by local law enforcement collaboration with them, hopefully are going to become the norm as FEMA turns itself away from the bureaucratic mess that it was, and the secretary leads disaster emergency management response towards a brighter future.
And I'm speaking with Micah Bach, who is the DHS Strategic Communications Officer. And Micah, I'm sure that you, along with the secretary, have seen some of the objections from the left, which, you know, I think are just totally not germane to this. They're objecting to the name Alligator Alcatraz as if that's somehow offensive and, you know, name offends them. And they're saying that this poses a humanitarian risk. And so how is the department balancing those alleged, and I think it's a little bit of a pretext, but those humanitarian concerns with enforcement priorities amid these increased border crossings and security threats?
Yeah, no, I think that it's important to understand that these same organizations that are upset over the name Alligator Alcatraz showed no anger, showed no emotion over the deaths of Lake and Riley, of Jocelyn Dungray, and the countless other Americans that have been killed by criminal illegal aliens, the very people that we are attempting to house in Alligator Alcatraz. So the name aside, the department is very serious about its efforts to provide safety for the American people, and the American people have to come first. And if these outlets want to throw up smoke over the name of a facility that's designed to lock up the worst of the worst, we would expect them to spend the same amount of energy on the American citizens that are killed by these same people. And once they do that, we can have a conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's a great response to say, well, you know, where has the left and all of these people on these cable networks that are objecting to this, where was their outrage on the harm to Americans from a lot of these violent offenders? And so this is open as of yesterday, and so as soon as everyone was, you know, wheels up and everybody left, the facility is now open. And there are, my understanding, there's about 1,000, 1,500 beds right now. That's going to expand to about 5,000. And so what's the current strategy and partnership with the state of Florida in terms of building this out to be as large as it's projected to be?
Right. So the process is already underway, as you saw, and they've made tremendous efforts over a very short period of time, which speaks to the leadership of the president, of Secretary Noem, and then of our state and local partners within Florida. So that process will continue. We're looking at a pretty quick rollout in terms of the expansion of the facility, most likely by the end of the summer. So with that in mind, this then becomes a model for what is possible with state and local partnerships. With the utilization of FEMA's emergency response capabilities. And we're very excited to see what the future holds for facilities like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's such a difference between the partnership with Florida and Governor DeSantis versus how DHS and Border Patrol are having to deal with states like California and New York that have some of these, you know, sanctuary cities and are actively opposing a lot of the Trump agenda and some of this enforcement of the law. And so how is DHS facing and dealing with the distinct differences among the states?
Yeah, so we're very grateful, obviously, for our partnership with states that are supportive of our efforts to keep Americans safe. But I do want to be clear that those states that are not engaging with us in that manner or form, that does not mean that the Department of Homeland Security is not taking efforts to safeguard the American citizens that are in those communities as well. Our mandate extends across the nation, and we will continue to lock up violent criminal illegal aliens in communities as far-reaching as California to Florida. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're a threat to the safety of our citizens, then we're going to find you.
And I'm speaking with Micah Bach, who is the DHS Strategic Communications Officer. And a lot going on yesterday with the opening of Alligator Alcatraz. But then even as President Trump and Secretary Noem and Governor DeSantis were speaking, there was a vote in the Senate on the One Big Beautiful Bill. And a lot of the advocates for that bill, among other things, have said that it's necessary to continue the funding of ICE, the funding of Border Patrol, and the funding of a lot of this. And so how specifically, to your knowledge, does that bill impact a lot of what DHS is doing with Alligator Alcatraz and this whole conversation of these plans?
This bill is transformational for the Department of Homeland Security. It will allow us to fulfill our mission to carry out the largest deportation operation in American history. It will empower our ICE agents, allow us to hire a significant number more agents to carry out these deportations, and it will result in the most secure border in U.S. history that we've already created, but allow us to maintain that, and it will give the Department of Homeland Security the tools necessary to fulfill the will of the American people to provide for their safety and security and to continue to build out projects like this, like Alligator Alcatraz, that require, you know, significant labor, significant effort, and coordination with state and local partners to build the facilities necessary to house some of the worst individuals that have come into our country.
And there were also some objections to, you know, saying, well, our children going to be detained in this facility? And then, of course, my response is, well, would you prefer the separation policies under former administrations? And, you know, you can't really have that balance of saying, well, family should be kept together, but then objecting to children. And so how are, to your knowledge, how are people or individuals chosen to be housed in this particular facility with this this acceleration of having Border Patrol act as adjudicatory judges to kind of rapidly escalate this deportation? Is it focused only on adults, or will there be families, or what's the thought?
Yeah, I won't get ahead of the team that's working on the operational side for this, but what I will say is that this facility is designed to have one way in and one way out. And the way out is a deportation flight back to your home country. This is not a facility where individuals are, you know, intended to stay in perpetuity. This is a process for us to arrest the worst criminal illegal aliens, who are rapists, who are murderers, who are drug traffickers, who have been in this country sometimes for decades on end due to the lax policies of the Biden administration and previous administrations. So this facility, the only way out is by plane, and that's out of this country. And this will be a process that targets the worst of the worst to get them out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, this is incredible. And so then, we, you know, if we get to the max that's projected of about 5,000 beds, and then with this kind of rapid turnaround, it doesn't sound like the plan is to have 5,000 there for a year, maybe, and then just kind of, you know, filter in a few. I mean, this would just be kind of rapidly moving 5,000, 5,000, 5,000. And so this is going to the total of more of the mass deportations that the president and the secretary have been talking about since inauguration. And so in terms of the operational side, it's going to be fascinating to see. But this is just, I think, a next step, Micah Bok, of getting to that mass deportation that the president promised during his campaign.
I think that's right. And what it also represents is the realignment of priorities. To go back to the element of the Sheltered Services Program funding, providing a significant portion of the resources to build this facility. Under the previous administration, you never would have seen that. These funds were being used for the exact opposite purpose, to give individual hotel rooms at luxury hotels in New York City, criminal legal aliens. The whole mantra of law enforcement operations at the federal level has completely changed under the leadership of Secretary Noem and President Trump. No longer are we coddling and caring for individuals, illegal aliens that come into our country to murder, maim, and rape our citizens. We are not caring for them and coddling them anymore. We are deporting them. We are locking them up. We are keeping them under lock and key. And that mindset shift is emphasized very, very clearly in what Alligator Alcatraz represents, which is you come in by road, you depart by plane, and your landing location will not be in this country.
Amazing. Well, thanks, Micah Bok, to the work that you are doing at DHS, that the secretary is doing, that the whole administration is doing. And I love to see President Trump and Governor DeSantis just being the model for what other states should follow. So really appreciate all of the insights and some of the behind the scenes as well. Really amazing to get to tour that yesterday. So Micah Bok, you can follow his personal account on X at Micah Bok. And we will be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Well, as we were discussing, by the narrowest of margins, 51-50, with Vice President J.D. Vance serving as the tie-breaking vote, the Senate has passed Trump's big, beautiful bill. As he was speaking with Governor DeSantis and Secretary Noem from Alligator Alcatraz yesterday, so a lot going on in the news. And the Hill reports Senate Republicans delivered a huge legislative victory for President Trump on Tuesday by passing his One Big Beautiful Bill Act after hours of tense negotiations that lasted through the night. The final vote came after lawmakers worked through the weekend before launching a 27-hour marathon of amendment votes on the floor, during which Republican leaders senators sought to win the support of holdouts. So GOP Senators Tom Tillis, who has just recently announced he's not running for re-election, very interesting there in North Carolina. Rand Paul out of Kentucky and Susan Collins out of Maine voted against the measure along with every Democrat. So now this sets up to go back to the House, and it's set for, I think, Wednesday of next week on a vote, which seems to be a little far into the future. But we'll see about that with Representative Jim Jordan, my special guest this morning from Ohio's 4th Congressional District. So, Congressman, thanks so much for dropping by the show again. Always love having you on the program. Where are we at with the One Big Beautiful Bill over on the House side?
Well, hopefully it'll pass. And I've said all along, I think this is a pretty good piece of legislation. You know it's pretty good because the Democrats hate it. They hate it because it actually empowers families and empowers individuals, doesn't empower government, and, you know, lets families keep more of their taxes, puts in a school choice provision in our tax code that actually secures the border, makes sure we have resources to keep the border secure, I should say. And then, frankly, treats taxpayers with respect because it says if you're an able-bodied adult in our Medicaid system, you're going to have to – there's going to be a work requirement for you. So I think all in all, a good bill. We'll just see if we can get the votes today and tomorrow, but I'm hopeful that we can.
And so with this and trying to get all of the votes, what are the political and procedural challenges that you and obviously Speaker Mike Johnson are contemplating, and how do you think he and the conference plan to overcome that?
Well, there's two votes. There's, you know, much like they had in the Senate, there was that motion to proceed, and then they did all the amendments, and they had the final passage. Over here in the House, there'll be a vote on the rule. As you know, every major piece of legislation, there's first a vote on the rule, and that sets up the parameters for debate, how many amendments, if any, are made in order and can be offered. So there'll be the rule vote. That's scheduled for sometime today, and then you'll debate the actual bill. So you got to get over the first hurdle in order to get to the second, to get to the bill itself. So I think the rule vote will be important. Let's hope that that passes, and then we get to the legislation. But those are sort of the two things that have to happen for this to become law.
And we've seen, I'm speaking with Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, we've seen that with some of the amendments in the Senate, some like Representative Chip Roy and others have, you know, posted some of these spreadsheets on social media, basically saying that the Senate is kind of watering down what the House had in terms of conservative priorities like fiscal responsibility, border security, parental rights, national sovereignty, some of these things. So how does the House plan to address that?
Well, it'd be nice if we could, if it was closer to the House bill. I appreciated that bill a little more than the one coming from the Senate, but it's still good legislation. And I think we just have to look at the facts. It was a 50-50 vote in the Senate. Do you think there's much wiggle room left? I mean, it was as close as it can get. You had to have the vice president come break the tie. You lost. People who voted no were Senator Tillis and Senator Murkowski, not considered the conservatives over there. People who voted yes, Senator Johnson, Senator Lee, Senator Lummis, Senator Scott, Senator Cruz, those are all considered that. Those are the conservatives. They all voted for the legislation, but somehow now the House Freedom Caucus and we conservatives in the House aren't going to vote for it. I think that's sort of tough to do. And so I think that's important. It'd be nice if we were saving more money and doing some things that we like, but you got the procedures over there, the parliamentarian ruling against certain things. You got small majorities in both the House and the Senate. We're probably at the point where this is as good as it could possibly get, and it's a darn good piece of legislation that I think we should support.
And you know, with something that is a bigger omnibus-style bill, you're always going to have some of these compromises, and it's not going to be perfect because what does perfect mean, right? It's probably a little different, even every Republican that you talk to. And so what should be the guiding principles or maybe the non-negotiables of this legislation that would favor saying, you know, maybe it's not perfect in your estimation, but it's a darn good bill, and so we should be passing this anyway?
Yeah, I think it's the guiding principle is, are we doing what we told the voters we're going to do? Is it consistent with what we campaigned on? We told the voters we're going to secure the border. President Trump has done that. This bill allocates resources to make sure the border stays secure. We told the people that we wouldn't let their taxes go up. This bill does that, renews the tax cuts. Plus, it puts in place additional tax breaks, like the no tax on tips and Social Security and different things like that. This bill says, we think families should be making decisions, not bureaucrats in D.C. and bureaucrats in your state capital. And it gives a school choice component to moms and dads. And we've always been the party that says work is good. If you're getting a benefit from the taxpayers and you're an able-bodied adult, guess what? You're going to have to work now. Those fundamental principles are conservative, Republican, common sense principles. Why wouldn't we support the legislation? I fail to get that sort of fundamental kind of approach to this. And then you look at how close the margins are in the House, how small our majorities are, and it was 50-50 vote in the Senate. It seems to me this is about as good as it's going to get. So let's support this legislation, which does what we told the voters we were going to do.
Yeah, and there are some pro-lifers that are concerned that the One Big Beautiful Bill defunds that IRS expansion permanently, the tax breaks, all of the good things, DEI indefinitely, supports parental rights, but Planned Parenthood and some of these other issues that deal with abortion are only defunded for a year. Is that a good at least first step, or should that have, or is there talk about maybe expanding that provision?
Yeah, we would have loved that expansion to be longer. I mean, there were lots of things we'd like better, but if you take any one element in this bill and pull it out, would you be for cutting taxes? Yes. Would you be for the school choice component? Yes. Would you be for the work requirement component? Yes. Would you be for just, even if it's just 1 year, what you just described, would you be for that? Yes, because those are all improvements. So you would be for the single item if it was a standalone bill. But when it's put together in a package, because it doesn't accomplish everything else that we were talking about or hoping to do, somehow you're not going to vote for it. I just fail to follow that logic. It seems to me if it's accomplishing what we said and you would vote for it as a single standalone measure, but why won't you vote for it in this package? I don't get that, particularly, again, when you look at the tight margins we have in both bodies. I just feel like this is pretty darn good. So let's vote. And the other thing I think is important to remember is politics is like sports. Momentum matters. And right now our party has momentum. We have a secure border, which was a fundamental issue in the campaign. We had the successful operation that our military and President Trump carried out in Iran. We have President Trump getting the NATO countries to ante up more money. And now all that's happening, and now we're going to say, oh, stop, it's not good enough. We're not going to do it, even though it cuts taxes, even though it's got school choice, even though it's got work requirement. We're not going to do that. I just think that's not the right move.
And I'm speaking with Congressman Jim Jordan from the great state of Ohio. And it reminds me of that maxim, don't let the good be the enemy of the perfect. And I think you're right that every pro-lifer would say, yeah, 1 year is better than no years. And to move some of this forward, and likely, some of these things would not even pass as a standalone bill. I mean, even if you, because the argument, of course, is, yeah, would you rather have 1 year than no years? Absolutely.
Good point.
But would 1 year even pass as a standalone bill?
Yeah, no, good point. The decision was made early on to go with one bill. So here we are, and there are things in there that you wish were even stronger, but there are lots of good things in there. And again, I think it's a good piece of legislation that I think is going to help us get on a stay on a path of strong economic growth. So let's hope we can get it done.
All right. Well, in the last few minutes or so that I have with you, Congressman Jim Jordan, I also want to get your take on Alligator Alcatraz and, of course, the president and Secretary Noem and Governor DeSantis. I was there yesterday at the opening. It was it's an incredible facility. And just seeing the partnership between the federal government and the state government, how does this, in your view, advance the border security promises of the Trump administration and I think this Congress as well?
Yeah, I mean, this was the fundamental issue in the campaign, maybe the central issue that President Trump was going to secure our border. And I remember the line he gave in the joint address to Congress a few months ago. He said, it turns out you don't need a new policy. You just needed a new president to get the border secure, which is true. And this president has done so. I think it's also a reflection of just how bad it was that, how unfortunate it was that Joe Biden simply opened up our border and we had 10 million people come in. So President Trump is doing what he told the voters he was going to do. He's got our border secure. He's going to make sure bad guys who come here and do bad things are put in a place where they're not going to harm Americans anymore. I mean, this is all consistent with what he campaigned on, what we campaigned on as Republicans, and President Trump maybe more than any president, certainly in our lifetimes, does what he said he was going to do. And this is part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, in my view, part of the top two or three key issues on the Trump mandate that Americans, by wide margins, are firmly supporting. And so this is excellent.
Yep.
And how important then does that tie into all of the funding of the One Big Beautiful Bill? Because a lot of this, we just spoke with an official from DHS in the last segment talking about, you know, all this funding that the One Big Beautiful Bill is necessary to continue border security and all of these operations.
If you want the border to stay secure, you got to have the resources to maintain it. And so what came out of our committee, the Judiciary Committee, we said we have money in there that we did for 10,000 more ICE agents, money for more detention space, detention beds, space like they're talking about here in Florida, money for judges, money came from Homeland Security Committee for building the wall. So all those things that just make, again, good common sense to make sure our immigration and border security systems work the way they're supposed to, and we maintain border security, all in this legislation, and maybe one of the fundamental reasons that we should support it.
And speaking with Congressman Jim Jordan, and there also seems to be a lot going on in the Judiciary Committee, and that hasn't been as much in the news with some of these other headlines, and of course, with the One Big Beautiful Bill being the focus. But can you give our listeners kind of an update of what investigations are going on and what we should be paying attention to beyond, obviously, following you on X and all of the great resources also from the Judiciary GOP account?
Yeah, just a couple. We're looking into Act Blue. We think this is just, you know, the amount of money they raise, some concerns raised. We think there's some potential concerns there. So we have some depositions coming up in that investigation. Of course, these quote elite Ivy League schools, we think they may be colluding. It looks like the facts are pointing in that direction, where there's some kind of collusion on price. Not to mention all the other things that have gone on these campuses that we find wrong, particularly the anti-Semitic behavior there. So we're looking at that. And then we have this latest one where it looks like the scientists at Pfizer back in 2020, there were a handful of scientists there who slowed up the results from the vaccine testing and made sure that those results didn't come out until after the election. And we know that because of things this individual said after the 24 election, talking about the previous election in 2020. So we're looking at that situation, too. In fact, have subpoenaed this particular scientist, Dr. Dormitzer, asked him to come in for a deposition.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for the incredible work that you do. Congressman Jim Jordan, always appreciate having you on the program. So much going on. And, you know, this show in particular, I think, is important at this moment in time. Because what we saw yesterday, and I just want to, you know, kind of close out the show emphasizing how much of a great moment it was to have President Trump, Governor DeSantis, Secretary Noem, the AG of Florida, you know, now having, you know, Congressman Jordan coming on talking about, you know, having all of this finally going through Congress, because I think Congress has been kind of the lackluster in my view of getting a lot of President Trump's agenda codified. But really, I think the overall feeling out of all this is one of encouragement that we're actually getting things done. And I think that conservatives overall, while maybe we can differ on some of these particulars and line items like the congressman was talking about, overall, I think conservatives are focused on what matters, trying to deliver these priorities, and we should be encouraged as Americans that, you know, this is now just into a month, you know, we're starting about month five because, you know, July 20th will be, you know, at that point of President Trump's administration. And we need to continue that momentum, especially going into the midterms next year. We're seeing there may be some controversial races like North Carolina, keeping that Senate seat with a conservative priorities, so that these votes won't be as split a 50-50. So this is great momentum. And for anyone who continues to have, you know, this bickering fight between DeSantis and Trump, I hope that you'll go back and actually just watch the press conference from yesterday, especially the one outside where they're under Air Force One. I mean, that moment was so unifying, I think. And we all just need to move forward with America first as the goal, respecting both of these leaders, including the leaders in Congress, including, you know, these great conservatives around the country that thankfully are in office. We need to be thanking the Lord that they're in office, and we need to be praying for our leaders and praying that the opposition to these agenda items utterly fails so that we can continue to have a great nation with a biblical worldview and that premise, and we can keep fighting for a more perfect union. As always, you can reach me and my team, Jenna, at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.